Hey guys, this is Adrian Vandenberg. You may know me from Whitesnake and Early Vandenberg. You're listening to Thunder Underground and you turn it up.
Welcome to episode 392 of the Thunder Underground podcast. And boy, do we have a good one this week. Adrian Vandenberg, the legend himself, the Flying Dutchman, is in the house for this episode of the podcast. That's amazing. Of course, you know Adrian Vandenberg from his namesake band, Vandenberg, and from the classic era lineup of Whitesnake. Yeah, I say that. You know there's been lots of different lineups of Whitesnake. But I say classic era because Vandenberg was in the band at their most highest successful point, 86 or so, until about 90, and then again, rejoined again in the mid-90s. But during that period, self-titled album came out with Here I Go Again, Is This Love, Still the Night, and then the next album, Slip of the Tongue, with, of course, Slip of the Tongue and Now You're Gone. Bad Boys on the self-titled, all these great tracks that we all know and love. Adrian Vandenberg is here to talk about that, and of course talk about new music from Vandenberg, talk about his current tour with Jeff Tate, and a lot of other cool things. So we're going to jump into that very shortly, but first I need to let you know who we're sponsored by. DEB Concerts, a concert promoter based right here in the Tulsa area, has been bringing great acts to this area for many years now. They also book the Roadhouse stage at Rocklahoma every year, and that lineup from Rocklahoma should be coming very soon. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be talking about those bands, of course, that Doug helped book for Rocklahoma in an episode once that, of course, is released, and usually Doug jumps in here at some point when it gets closer to Rocklahoma to talk about his stage, you know, and everything else going on. Also, if you've been listening to this or you've been following things in the Tulsa area, you heard about their recent show that was announced with Last in Line and Lita Ford on April 6th. That show was unfortunately canceled this past week. You know, on the tour's end, something, I'm not sure the reason, but if you've bought tickets, they'll be refunded. But you can be on the lookout for other great things coming from DEB Concerts. And of course, like I said, Rocklahoma very shortly. So hit up their socials to follow them. Facebook, Instagram, and X are all DEB Concerts. DEBconcerts.com is the website. Keep you up to date on everything. And of course, we keep you up to date right here. So a huge thank you to DEB Concerts. We've also got Sunset Tattoo, a native-owned tattoo shop in Midtown Tulsa. Their tattoos are done getting proper. They've got three artists on site, including a female artist. Jake Thompson has been running this place for quite a many years, and he's got 25 plus years of experience. If you hit him up ahead of time, you can go in to talk about what work you're looking to have done. They also accept walk-ins. And of course, you can schedule as far in advance as you need to. So hit him up on the socials or give him a call to set up the appointment to talk about what you're looking to have done. I can speak from experience. I've had work done by Jake more than once, including one just today, the day I'm recording this. If you're listening to this on Friday, the day I dropped it, I got a tattoo yesterday. So check out the socials here very soon. I'll be blasting it on the Thunder Underground social because it is music related. But hit up Sunset Tattoo and of course tell them you heard about them right here on Thunder Underground. All right, I'm going to jump right into this. Adrian Vandenberg. Got a great interview with him, a little over 20 minutes. He's out on tour right now, co-headlining with Jeff Tate, of course, the lead vocalist of the original lineup of Queensryche. Jeff Tate has also been on this podcast previously, about 2 years ago. That was a fantastic and a fun one, so check that one out if you have not. But speaking of Whitesnake and past members that may have been on this episode, Adrian Vandenberg is the fourth past member of Whitesnake to appear on this podcast. However, he is the first from that, like I said, that classic era lineup. The first from, you know, the kind of 80s and early 90s heyday of Whitesnake. However, Vivian Campbell was on this podcast. And he was in the band, you know, before Adrian, but it was for like a short, like a 1 year period. Many years later, Reb Beach joined, and he's been in the band now for over 20 years, which makes him, I believe, the longest tenured member of Whitesnake outside of David Coverdale. I think probably even more than Tommy Aldridge, if you add up his time, or it's probably about the same. And then also Brian Tichy, the amazing, amazing drummer that comes from that same school as Tommy Aldridge. He was in Whitesnake in the early teens, probably like 2010 to 14, something like that. I got the chance to see him live with them a couple times. Phenomenal drummer. He's been on here twice. But now we've got Adrian Vandenberg, who is the guitarist. During the time period of, like I said, the self-titled Slip of the Tongue. Of course, the Live at Donington 1990 that came out many years later on the 30th anniversary here in 2020. And then he was also a part of the album Restless Heart that came out in 97, I believe. Adrian Vandenberg, of course, had a couple albums with Vandenberg, I believe three albums in the 80s, and he's now had two since. He's reformed Vandenberg with a new lineup here in the past 5 years or so. He had Vandenberg's Moon Kings going on for 6-7 years there, around 2008 to 2010, up until 2016, 2017, and then he shifted back into Vandenberg. They've released two albums since. Ronnie Romero sang on the first one. Mats Levin is singing on the current one. Mats Levin is in the band now as the vocalist. And dude, you gotta check this album out if you have not heard it. It's called Sin. It came out last year in 2023. Pretty late, I think, like August or September. So it hasn't been out there, you know, longer than 6-8 months. And you need to check this thing out. It is just slamming. If you love Vandenberg or Whitesnake with just a little bit more amped up, a little bit more heaviness, a little bit more grittiness in the vocals, but very much in that blues, heavy blues rock vein that Adrian Vandenberg specializes in. You got to check this out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. With all that being said, we talk a bit about that album. And of course, we talk about, like I said, Whitesnake, Vandenberg, and everything else going on in between. Adrian Vandenberg is also a fantastic songwriter, as you can hear with the Whitesnake songs he was a part of. He, of course, recorded one of the most epic and well-known solos in the history of rock and roll. That solo on Here I Go Again. You know, Here I Go Again is an all-time classic song that even people that don't even listen to rock music are familiar with. That alone puts this man squarely in an elite status that very few people can stand in. Because I can tell you right now that if you're listening to this, you're a fan of rock and roll. You know the song Here I Go Again. And you can hear it in your head, and you can hear that solo. And that's not the fact for, you know, even well-known songs. You know, you can think about it, but the solo doesn't jump out to you. He gives a bit of detail on his process and what goes into it and how he crafts solos to this day and how he performs them live. So I'm really looking forward to everybody hearing this. Let's just jump right into this. Here, my friends, is Adrian Vandenberg, formerly of Whitesnake and currently of Vandenberg.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We're in Louisville, Kentucky right now, and the tour is going fantastic. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, you know, because as most people know, I haven't toured in the States since the Slip of the Tongue tour with Whitesnake, and it was 1990. So that's just a little while ago.
Yeah. Has it been a good overwhelming response from fans, you know, that a lot that never got the chance to see you live?
Well, yeah, plus a lot of people who did see me live in that tour. Like this morning, there was an interesting situation. We usually park on a big parking lot at Walmart's because those are secure. There's cameras over there. That's why our bus driver is very experienced. So he says, in general, that's where we park. So this morning, it was really funny. Tour manager Ralph and our driver were going to one of the supermarkets around the probably Walmart or whatever to get food for the bus. And at some point their cart stopped, so they thought one of the wheels gave up. So, and I saw it happen from the bus. I was having my first coffee, And I saw them struggle with the cart and trying to pick it up, but it was loaded with bread and whatever we needed for breakfast and all this stuff. And a police car drove by and assumed that they were stealing the cart. So they got a verbal from this policeman. And of course, they didn't steal the cart, but they said, you know. So the policeman gave him a lot of shit, actually. It appeared that there's a mechanism on the wheels of the cart that when it gets out of a certain area away from Walmart, that the wheels automatically block.
Oh,
So
wow.
that's why they're picking up. But a little bit later, the Louisville chief of police accidentally drove by, and he appeared to be a big fan. He saw Whitesnake with me in it in 1990, two or three times or something.
Wow.
So now the poor cop who gave my tour manager and the driver, you know, a big verbal, got his ass kicked by his chief. He was only doing his job, you know, so he can't
Right.
really. But he was exaggerating a little bit because he was assuming right away, you know, oh, you guys are stealing a car up, you know. So it was a bit of a situation. Unfortunately, I couldn't film it because I was my first cop. I was going, what's going on over there? But I heard it later, you know.
Right.
Never a dull moment on tour.
Folks, so when I first saw that this lineup, was announced, like co-headlining with Jeff Tate, it kind of took me off guard because it's not something I'd think about, but it makes perfect sense when you do think about it. Had you ever played shows with Queensryche back in the day with Vandenberg or
No, Jeff and I never met before, and it's going really great. It's a great combination, and we both play predominantly stuff from you know from the big hits. In my case, we play a lot of Whitesnake stuff from my 12 years with Whitesnake. You know, stuff like "Still of the Night," "Here We Go Again," "Crying in the Rain," "Give Me All Your Love," and stuff. And Jeff plays the hits from Queensryche. So it's a big. As they say in Holland, a fest of recognition. Everybody goes wild, you know. It's such a great thing, and basically the way I see it is the band and the crowd step into a time machine together, and everybody suddenly feels like 20 again. You know, it's really cool, and I haven't played that material in over 30 years since my last wife. No, actually, 1997. 98 was my last tour with Whitesnake, so 25 years, whatever. So that's a long time, and I'm getting a big kick out of it.
Well, you'd released Sin last year. Like, how do you feel these songs fit in, with your Vandenberg and these old Whitesnake songs in this set?
Fits perfectly because this is the kind of stuff I've always written, and that was also one of the reasons why David invited me into Whitesnake in 1986. The first time actually in 1982, and he mentioned, you know, a bunch of the Vandenberg songs could have been Whitesnake songs and the other way around. And Sin, as you'll be able to tell, of course, also connects to that, you know. Dave and I delve from the same well, influence-wise, you know, we both grew up on blues and soul stuff and Cream and Led Zeppelin and all that stuff. So we always had very similar influences. So it makes it easier. That's the stuff I naturally write. I don't even think about it, you know?
Well, Matt's Levin's vo vocals are a little bit heavier or grittier than, the stuff you did with Vandenberg or even Coverdale's. Like, what do you feel he brings to those older songs in the live set?
Yeah, it was really great because he's one of the few guys that I am aware of. I mean, what do I know, you know? But he's one of the few guys that I'm aware of that can actually deliver the Whitesnake songs the way they should be delivered. And he does an incredible job with a song like Burning Heart. The original singer had a very different timbre, as it's called. He had more like a soprano type of voice. And as you know, Mats has got this deeper, growly voice that basically would fits easy with the Whitesnake stuff, but he makes all the songs his own. You know, he's a real singer, so he does not try to copy anybody. Although a lot of people say, well, you know, he sings like Coverdale. Well, if you listen carefully, people should be able to hear that he gives his own interpretation. It would basically be the same thing as if my niece, who's a professional violin player in classical orchestra, if people would accuse her of trying to sound like Mozart or Bach or Beethoven or those
Right.
guys. You do your own interpretation. So that's how I look at it. Like when Frank Sinatra covered Yesterday from the Beatles, people weren't going, "Oh, Frank Sinatra is trying to be Paul McCartney." No, of course not.
Right.
It's his own, and everybody gives their own interpretation. I mean, even me myself, I never played a solo with the same kind of emotion as the night before, because every day is different. Like the Burning Heart solo, the Here I Go Again solo, I play the same solos, but I play them differently every night. I squeeze the note a little longer or shorter, or I move into another part a little quicker or later. So you play how you feel, and that's what music is all about.
I mean, I guess kind of going into that, when you craft a solo, because I've always read stuff, from, big fans of you or just guitar work in general, saying that, you're up there with Shanker and Randy Rhoads as far as crafting solos. So like when you write a solo, are you thinking of it as its own, like its own song, its own piece of music, separate from the song itself?
Yeah, I always like it to be a song within a song, but it needs to be in the it needs to basically the vocalist passes the torch to me for 20 seconds, and I need to stay in the same story, but give it a little bit of a plot twist, The way I come up with my solos is actually something that I learned from Jimmy Page, if you want to call it that. The first two Vandenberg albums were recorded in Jimmy Page's studio, and the engineer over there worked with Jimmy Page, and I asked him, "So, how did Jimmy record a solo?" And he said, "Well, he does a couple of takes, and then he picks the parts that he likes from this one and that one, and then he puts them together." And that's basically what I do. I record a bunch of solos, or a couple, sometimes only two or three or whatever, and I think, "Oh, I like the way how this one starts, and then I like the middle part of that one and the last part of that one." And then I play around with it a little bit, and then it becomes the solo that it is. So
So
it's
that
a
process has been pretty consistent for you throughout the past 40 plus years. It hasn't changed as you've gotten older on the newer music, or
not really, but I'm focusing on different things. Ever since I had the well-publicized wrist problem during the 1990 recordings of the Slipper's Tongue album, it appeared to be resulting from a car crash in the early 80s, where I developed two neck hernias that are pressing against the nerve that triggers the index finger and the thumb, and these tendons and all the stuff. So over the years after that, when I wasn't aware of that, I apparently started building up more and more tension in order to get the playing out, squeeze it out of my hands, so to speak, with force. So after I had two operations, two neck operations in the States in 90 in 2000 in Florida, actually, I have two little scars over here. It was an interesting procedure. They didn't do it in Holland at the time yet. They go in behind your Adam's apple. It sounds a little gross, with a little tube that has a camera on it and a laser beam, where and a little scissor. So they cut the neck hernia off, and then they burn with laser. They close the little wound, so to speak. But it never completely healed. So as a result of that, I have changed my techniques over the years, because for me, technique is a means to express an emotion. So whether I do it this way or that way, as long as I can get that emotion across. And coming back to your original question, for me it's all about that particular emotion. Whether and for me, one of the most important thing is the melody in a solo. A big part of a solo, for my taste, should be almost singable. Like a great trumpet solo by Chet Baker, or like my heroes are guys like Brian May, Billy Gibbons, Leslie West, Jeff Beck. Those are all very melodic players, and a lot of players forget that Eddie Van Halen was a very melodic player too. He played live. His solo is pretty much the same as on the record. He plays so spontaneously and so flashy that a lot of people over the years seem to have focused on the flashiness of his solos. But to me, it sounds like the person he was. It sounded happy and uplifting and sparkling. You know, I got to know him in the 90s, and I did get to spend some time at his house a couple of times. And he is one of those people who plays how he is character-wise, and that for me is always a very interesting and very important characteristic of any musician, whether it's a guitar player or drummer, of course a singer. But when you, sorry, I'm a little hoarse. Like people like Jeff Beck, you know, and people like Brian May, all my heroes, I can hear their character in the playing. Billy Gibbons, another one, you know. Michael Schenker, you mentioned him, Randy Rhoads. Those kind of players really, I love those players, you know, where you can almost sing the solos.
Yeah. Well, you'd mentioned touring with Whitesnake in 90 and recently, well, the pre-show thing you guys did where you reunited before Live at Donington in 2020, the 30-year anniversary, you guys did a Zoom pre-show with the five members of Whitesnake for the first time.
Oh yeah,
I was just like, how frustrating was that whole experience for you where you were just kind of in and out and never got to really talk on the Zoom?
it was very funny, but of course it was a pity that I couldn't put in my two cents, you know. But it's okay, you know. People, it's easy for people to follow me on social media these days. So whatever bullshit I launch into virtual space, people either appreciate it or they don't. But I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying the fact that you can be in contact with your fans and you can answer questions and that kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, these are different times. What I find interesting, to put it that way, is that a lot of people suddenly consider themselves music journalists. And that's like, you know, not everybody is a baker or not everybody's a carpenter. And people kind of, you know, voice their opinion in a relatively anonymous way about everything and anything, and that has changed the times and the way people communicate with each other. So that's not always a plus, I think, you know, because there's a lot of frustrated people and angry people around who get a kick out of, you know, saying something stupid about the situation or about in the COVID period, for instance, everybody was suddenly a COVID specialist, you know. Everybody knew it better than anybody else. And you go, oh man, you know. In the end, you know, you don't really have very much of an alternative choice than to check out scientists who have studied stuff all their lives, and read or hear as many of them as possible and form your own opinion instead of just believing what you read or hear in the media from one person or one particular direction or something, you know.
You mentioned, interacting with fans on social media, and a good friend of mine named Julian is a big fan of yours, and he'd sent me a couple pictures of an old PV Vandenberg signature from the 80s that he has, and he just
Right.
wanted me to ask, like, what were your memories on the development of that?
That was a lot of fun. When I designed that guitar, I was on the road with Whitesnake, and every day. And when I first wanted to go for the shape, and the idea behind it for me was a single coil and a double coil, so I could get Fender Strat sounds and Gibson Les Paul sounds out of it. So it's mahogany body, maple top, not the bolt-on neck one. That was a different version, but I made the drawings by sticking a big piece of paper on the wall of my hotel room and started making sketches. Oh, that's Ralph.
Hi, Vince.
Making sketches about the shape that I wanted. I wanted the guitar to be as recognizable from a big distance as a Stratocaster is, or a Les Paul, or a Telecaster, you know. So I started sketching until I liked the balance and the shape, and I wanted it to be a little radical, but with a reference to classics as well. That's why I got those little violin cuts in there. And I wanted to reverse headstock, which I was already using on the guitar that I used on the very first Vandenberg videos that I designed, and a friend of mine made it. So I got great memories flying to Mississippi in Hartley Peavey's private jet to work on the pickups and on the electronics and all that stuff. And now Peavey has re-released it to my joy, because lots and lots of people over the years have asked me through my social media pages, oh, do you still have maybe one or more laying around that you want to get rid of? And I only have four or five left, you know, so I didn't want to do that. But I'm really happy that the people who like that guitar had the chance to get into it again. And Peavey put out like a premium version. It's better than the old one even, because it has premium parts on it and Seymour Duncan pickups, the top of the line Floyd Rose thing. So it's a guitar that you can put easily against $4,000 or $5,000 guitars. I'm sorry, I sound like a secondhand car tire salesman, but
No.
I'm really passionate about this guitar, you know, and it's a lot of fun developing it and putting my ideas into a guitar that I really wanted to play, you know.
Final question for you. I mean, one of my favorite Whitesnake songs from the 80s is Now You're Gone. And I know, you know, co-wrote that entire album. What are your specific memories as far as writing that song, you know, with David and how that went?
Yeah, I wrote the music for that song on the road on my four-track little cassette recorder. And the way we usually worked was once they had the musical basis, David and I got together and then took it from there. And then David puts his vocal lines on it and his lyrics. We had a great working relationship. What we talked about before, we have very similar influences in our music taste. So it usually went seamless. And Now You're Gone is one of my favorites too. It's also probably my favorite video, at least one of them. Together with Still of the Night and Here We Go Again. But this one was us on the road with all the fun and all the traveling and all the stuff in there. If you remember it, the black and white one.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite one because it wasn't as glossy as the other ones. And I'm a, you know, down to earth, feet in the mud, shut up and play kind of guy. So that's why I liked that video too. And yeah, that song is very close to me still. It's one of the ones that I'm really, really proud of.
I haven't seen the video in a while, but wasn't it you in the video that signed the girl, signed her butt or hot thigh or something?
Yeah, man. Okay. People would only know what I've signed over the years, you know. Some things are refused, but, you know, other things, you do it, you know. So
right.
As long as it's within certain boundaries, so to speak.
Right. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time with me today. I absolutely love Sin, and I'm looking forward to seeing you live. I'm going to see you at the Tulsa show next week.
All right, man. Thanks so much for your time, and bye to everybody. I hope to see everybody on the road somewhere, because we're definitely going to come back. Definitely. I'm so happy to tour the States again. It's great. It's such a part of my life, you know, the 12 years with Whitesnake. It was like absolute one of the highlights in my career so far, and I'm just getting started.
Right on. There you go, Adrian Vandenberg of Vandenberg and Whitesnake fame. A huge thank you to Stephen Karras of SKH Music. And of course, a massive thank you to Adrian for taking some time out there to hit me up on Zoom while he was out on the road. As you heard early on in that interview, he was in Lexington, Kentucky when we talked. You know, he had that great funny story there involving the police. So I'm glad to get the chance to, you know, sit down for a little over 20 minutes and discuss a few things with Adrian. Quite an honor for me, being a lifelong Whitesnake fan. Can't tell you how much those songs, you know, and especially his era. I didn't get into Whitesnake until his era because of my age. You know, that's right when I was getting into music, the late, mid to late 80s. And it just, they're just one of the bands that hit me. I became a big fan of and stuck with ever since. And if you're a not a person that's followed Whitesnake throughout the years, you've missed out on some great stuff. You know, they've had recent albums in the past 10 to 15 years that are great. They did a album called the Purple Album where they, you know, recorded a bunch of the David Coverdale era Deep Purple songs, which was very cool as well. But back to Adrian Vandenberg, you can hear those Whitesnake albums he was a part of. You can hear the Vandenberg albums from the 80s. But you also need to check out the current Vandenberg album called Sin that just came out in 2023. Like I said earlier, it's a slammer. It's amazing. You'll love it. Also got to ask that question for my friend Julian. Hit up Julian, told him what I was doing. And like I said in the interview there, he asked me to ask the question. And then the question I asked turned into the fact that that guitar is now, I didn't know about this until he mentioned it. And I looked it up and I guess it was announced at NAMM just in January of this year. So it should be coming later this year. Be on the lookout for that if you're a guitar enthusiast. That PV Adrian Vandenberg model is coming back. Very cool. So once again, a massive thank you to Adrian. And if you're listening to this because you're a fan of Adrian or Whitesnake and you hadn't listened before, like I said early on, Reb Beach has been on here. Brian Tishy has been on here. Vivian Campbell has been on here. Stepping out of Whitesnake, Glenn Hughes, who's actually, I guess technically, he's been on, I can't remember what it was. I know there, at some point he recorded backing vocals for one album, I think, with Whitesnake. I can't remember. But the point is, Glenn Hughes, one of the greatest musicians of all time, in my opinion, one of the Mount Rushmore vocalists of all time, has been on this podcast twice. That is one of my biggest honors ever doing this podcast, or pretty much doing anything. The fact that I got to talk to Glenn Hughes in two separate occasions. But we've been all over the place with artists like Gene Simmons from Kiss, Frank Cannon from Tesla has been on multiple times, Brian Wheat from Tesla, Jack Russell from Great White was on here recently, Mark Kendall from Great White's been on a couple times. I've had on members of Shinedown when you're talking about more modern stuff, Saliva, Hellstorm, Seven Dust, Corrosion and Conformity, getting a little heavier, Testament, Megadeth, Dee Snider has been on here before. Like I said earlier, Jeff Tate, formerly of Queensryche, has been on here. We've branched out and had people like Shooter Jennings and the very incomparable Vanilla Ice has been on here. Just, it's just wild to say that as well. But so many great artists throughout the years. Dizzy Reed of Guns N' Roses. I could just keep rambling. Gus G of Firewind and formerly of Ozzy was on here recently. I've had some great ones recently. Brian Tatler of Diamond Head, and now of Saxon has been on here. Biff Byford from Saxon has also been on here. Damon Johnson of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Thin Lizzy, Brother Kane, and a bunch of other things has been on here more than anybody in history. So, dig those up. But again, Adrian Vandenberg is here, and if you're listening for the first time, really appreciate it. Wherever you're listening, hit like, follow, subscribe, or whatever it is so you don't miss future episodes. And speaking of future episodes, Mirith, a progressive metal band out of Tunisia. I interviewed one of their members recently. Breaking Benjamin, Keith Wallen, the guitarist for the past decade. I interviewed him recently. Corey Glover and Vernon Reed of the band Living Color. I sat down with both of them recently when they were in Oklahoma City. Holy shit, was that a fun one, and that's coming very, very soon. Mike Mostert and Tony Cavino of In Theory have been on here in the past, and they are coming back once again very soon. I've also got a couple exciting ones to be recorded very soon, and those will be announced once they happen. So follow us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok. It's Thunder Underground. TheThunderUnderground.com is the website. You can listen to this podcast right there. You can listen to it pretty much anywhere podcasts are heard, like Spotify, Apple Music, all that great stuff. If you see a post or anything on any of the social media platforms or anywhere you see the podcast, just click like or comment an emoji or share it. Those things help out greatly, more than you can imagine. But all right, I'm going to stop rambling and get out of here for this week. Once again, a massive thank you to Stephen Karras, SKH Music, Sunset Tattoo, DEB Concerts, and Adrian Vandenberg. And until next time.
Thunder Underground, y'all.